Blog Talk Radio.
Use all of your courage in Jesus to overcome. Believe there is no circumstance that can defeat you in your purpose to accomplish anything in your life. You got to believe it though, brother.
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got to believe. Come on.
Come on.
More than a conqueror,
I'm a winner.
The rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, saints, can you all hear me? Hallelujah. And we're posting the chat. Let me know how I'm coming in. 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. Bless you all. Hallelujah. Can you all hear me? We're coming in, saints. Can you hear me? Oh, hallelujah. 10. Okay. Praise y'all. Praise y'all. We got 10s coming in. We got 10s. All right. Hallelujah. Praise y'all. Oh, thank you all, thanks for being here tonight. Hallelujah. All of you who have those of you who are partaking in the fellowship tonight, just very grateful for the Most High that you all have the time to do so. And for those of you who are listening later, partaking the study later, bless you and bless you when you get a chance to listen to this. Hallelujah. Well, I'm your host. I'm Deacon Doug Bell. You're on the brother segment, and I'm your host. Hallelujah. Hope everyone had a great day. Great Shabbat yesterday. Listen to the word from the shepherd, feeding the sheep, as always, being faithful in his calling. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. All right, saints. Situated here. All right, praise y'all. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, brother, I'm glad you're back, brother. Hallelujah. Most glad the Most High healed your body. Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Brittany, Sister Atara, Sister Sela, and there's one name in here, Tajik. I don't know how to pronounce your name, but bless you too. Hallelujah. Those of you listening on the phone, hallelujah. Well, you know, Most High is good, saints. In spite of all our troubles and tribulations that we may face and have to endure at any given time, whether it be sickness, you know, someone coming against you, speaking evil of you, or just dealing with your own flesh, striving to overcome. You know, the Most High is good. Hallelujah. We're still fighting the good fight of faith. Every day he allows you to wake up in the morning or in the evening, whatever time you get up. You know, just make sure you give thanks. Make sure you remember your Creator. Hallelujah. The Most High, yeah. The one who allows you to have breath in your body. The one who allows your eyes to see in the morning. Hallelujah. The one who kept you through the night or through the day when you slept. Praise God. He's good. Especially to his own children. Hallelujah. And that's another day that he had mercy on you. He didn't take you home yet. Because his work in you ain't finished yet. So he had to keep you alive. Bring you to another day for his mercy to work itself out in you. For his grace to work itself out in you, which is sufficient. Hallelujah. Well, saints, we got our days of our countdown to the Passover is definitely winding down. If no elder has 56 days until Passover, that might be wrong. I don't know. Want to be a blessing list. But anyway, if you haven't seen it to be a blessing yet, saints, go ahead and get that in. Help make the feast enjoyable for everyone. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. But we are counting down to the Passover. Now, you know, as we're in this Passover season, I pray everyone is working on themselves, striving to get their hearts right. You definitely want to be clean coming into the Passover. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother. 5 weeks away. Just 5 weeks. Hallelujah. Counting down. All right, Brother Ugly, let's go to James chapter 3. Start off with verse 1. We'll be in this one for a little bit. Make my thing bigger here so I can see it. All right. Verses 1 through 12, James, Brother Ugly. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and return about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth, the man driving the boat. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now you look at that tongue. Now that's talking about everybody else's tongue, but not mine, not yours, Brother Ugly, yours, Sister Brittany. You know, you got that wholesome tongue. Your tongue is tame. You know, it don't have no evil, it's not unruly evil. It don't have no deadly poison in it, do it. Praise God for all you sanctified holy people. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we Yah, God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Which one are you yielding today? You know, think about this in light of the Passover. You know, everything we're talking about, let's just keep our, get ourselves in examination mode. You know, as we're heading to the Passover, you know, we're 5 weeks away. Now, if you just pour a glass of water into a cup, let's say your other water is getting poured into this a clear cup, right? That you can see through. Now, it's most high pouring your spirit out, you know, your water into a cup so you can check, see how you look. Would that water be clear and easy to see through? Or would it be a filthy, defiled cup? You know, filthy water, you know, black is black, gray is gray, red is red, whatever color you want to put in there, but it should be clear water, pure water. So what kind of fountain are you? Are you salt water, fresh water? Either one of them is fine as far as water goes. But, you know, are you sweet water or are you bitter water? What comes out of your tongue? That should tell you. What does your tongue speak? Well, if you don't speak, or if you're not even saying anything, you know about the quiet riot. You know, you can sit there and be quiet, but still be raising hell on the inside. You know, women, y'all master that very well, don't y'all, sisters? Especially when you married woman. Oh, the old classic thing, pastor say, you can go to your wife and ask her, what's wrong? Well, she don't want to do that, but you know that you can sense that quiet riot going on. And all that hell being raised, and nothing's being said, but, you know, that awe, that feeling in the air, that spiritual atmosphere is very, very defiling, but you can't walk by it and not notice. Bless you, Brother Willie. You know, all that mess going on, you know. Now, when you get in a state like that, what do you do about it afterwards? Do you just let bygones be bygones, so to speak? You know, just, okay, well, I was full of hell yesterday, all week, last week before, 2 months before that, but, you know, I'm not going to be that way today. I'm going to give everybody their pass. I'm going to be good today. And then tomorrow you can go forth and raise more hell. But, you know, but you expect everybody to receive you like that, too. You know, they're supposed to endure you. And, you know, we're supposed to a point. But at the same time, don't get mad if somebody rebuke you or call you on how nasty and defiled you are. Or acting, you know, unbecoming of a saint. Somebody who's been born again, washed in the blood. So if your water is impure, yet you want to go around and giving everybody the drink from you, should they accept that? No, they shouldn't. You need to make sure you're clean. Make sure you're pure. You know, nobody wants to drink your bitter water. Now, when you got good spirit, yeah, we want that. But let's do something about the nature, this corruption that you're walking in at times, that we're walking in at times. Any of them. I'm going to give myself a pass. You know, I'm going to be Dr. Jekyll one day and Dr. Hyde the next. How about it, brothers? You're nice to your wife today. You mean as heck tomorrow. You know, you've been raising Cain all week long, but then all of a sudden, you know, of course, on Sabbath, you put on your nice garment. You dapper Dan, so you act good that day. And after that, boy, your wife and children got to run for cover. Like, oh, boy, mama, who's that man we see on Sabbath? I don't know him. Is that my daddy? Well, the children, mama, why's daddy act like that? Or they ask daddy, why's mama act like that? You know, you are sowing that seed into your children. All the crap you're doing, the good you're doing, you're sowing it in them, and the bad you're doing, that's getting sold into them as well. And you're going to reap what you sow. Talk about the precious young seed that's coming behind you, behind us. We do need to be aware of and keep our spirits policed up. You know, we're the only people that can walk in a dual nature. You can walk in the spirit or you can walk in the flesh. We're better off walking in the spirit than the flesh. But again, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. In verse 13 reads, who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And of course, that's where we're at too. We'll get earthly, sensual, and devilish. But where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So if you got bitter envy and strife in your hearts, make sure you come take the Passover, just like that. You know, you're going to be acceptable of y'all, ain't you? Because, you know, you're a saint of y'all, right? Ain't it right, brother Isaac? We got bitter envy and strife in our hearts. We can partake of that Passover cup, can't we? And that bread? What about it, Sister Seba? Brother Willie? Zion Ock? You want to partake of the Passover with bitter envy and strife in your heart? You know, that strife that you hate your brother with. You had an attitude with brother so-and-so 2 days ago, sister so-and-so 3 days ago on the phone. You know, you slapped your wife, brother. Cussed out your dad, young man, sister. You know, bitter envy and strife in your heart. All that stuff you got going on, you know, dealing with the hidden man, that hidden man on the inside, that man, that inner wicked man. You know, this scripture is showing you your, I'll call it your wicked spiritual potential there. You don't need to walk after that. And that's right, Sister Celia, eat and drink damnation. That's right. We're going to go to that scripture here in a little bit. I remember hearing a preacher some years ago when he was reading that scripture. So, well, I think your pastor played him. I don't know who it was at the moment. I think I remember his voice, but that might have been left a little off. I don't know. But I remember this man reading that scripture. I don't know, for some reason that was always stuck with me when he was reading it. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, you know, he's saying, I think he said, if you have that in your heart, he said, you're not a, well, he said Christian at the time, he said, you're not a disciple of Christ, of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, but you're a backslider. So if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're a backslider. In other words, you're wicked. Walking in sin. You do something about your wicked heart. You know, and how many people out there operate in this same mold? You know, you look at what people do, you know, let's say, anybody that's been disgruntled, got bad feelings, whatever. How much of that? How much are they making their videos with bitter envy and spite for their hearts? You know, they're going to glory, but you know, they shouldn't glory. Don't glory not about that now, and don't lie against the truth. But you know, these people, they operate with that bitterness propels. And with that same business, they were able to defile many. The strife to defile many with it. They were able to reach out, find somebody that had that same nature, that same type of spirit. You know, they joined together. You know, the birds of a feather flock together. You know, so if you got a raunchy spirit, you're going to seek out others who have a raunchy spirit to be of the same like nature. Now, hallelujah. We'll go back to verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And I'll tell you, every time I read that script, tell me what, like, how fast I talk. I'm going to tell you, faith, come before you, I don't take it lightly. Being the office of a deacon, don't take it lightly. By the grace of the Most High, by the blood of Jesus, I strive to do what I'm supposed to do in the position that I'm in, knowing that I can receive a greater condemnation. Knowing that I got to give an account. Everything that I do, everything that I say. But for the example that I live before the Most High, before you all as well. So I'm thankful and grateful to be a servant of the Most High. Walk before you as well. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Ugly, we're going to go to, hold on 1 second. Tell you what, we're going to read that scripture. Let's go to, let me find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me get there. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm like, let's start at verse 1. I'm going to jump around though, Brother Edmund. Pop all the way down to, let's see. Verse 17. All right. Moreover, my brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the clouds and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. No, Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior. But with many of them, Yah was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Need to be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of destroyed. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But let's go back here for a minute. You know, Paul's saying, you know, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. You know, fornication, whoredoms, and fell in one day, 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and destroy the serpents. And murmur, neither murmur. That's what I really want to get to. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and destroy the destroyer. You know, that was a big sin out there in the world. You know, how many of us are murmuring? You know, got a murmuring spirit that we ain't done nothing about. You know, you get behind the closed doors crying and whining, fussing and complaining about everything. Fussing and complaining because somebody didn't zip the bag of chips back up and your favorite chips got stale. Or murmuring about, you know, I don't care. Oh, I don't want to work in the garden today. I don't want to have to obey Pastor Dollar there, Pastor Cole. I don't want to listen to Deacon Miguel or Elder Mitchell or Elder Rufus. I don't want to listen to those guys. I don't want to do nothing nobody tell me. I don't want to have to obey Brother Michael down there in Florida. Bless all you saints and all the congregations everywhere, communities, homesteads. Bless you all, saints. Hallelujah. But, you know, you don't want, so you start murmuring. You name it, you can murmur about. Hopefully that's none of you. Neither let us, neither murmur ye. And neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and with the store of the serpents. Don't be an idolatry. And see, all these examples, these things were examples for us. But are we taking heed to the example? You know, you look at it, we're not in the wilderness today. How many of us would fail? Fail of the grace of Yah in the wilderness if we went out there today. You know, we might do good one day. Might do good 2 days. And by the grace of Yah, if we make it 3 days, oh boy. I don't know, Brother Usman, how long would you make it out there in the wilderness? Sister Brittany, before you start murmuring. I'm asking myself this too. How long would I make it? You got a murmuring spirit in you? Are you hiding one? Are you masking a murmuring spirit in you? You know, providing insulation for the devil instead of getting deliverance? How about fornication? Whoredoms. You got any whoredom in you? How about idolatry? You know, your own opinion that you're so wrapped up in, that you made an idol of. You know, you might have a little idol of Buddha, something like that, too. We shouldn't be doing that either. We shouldn't be idolaters. But things that we need to purge ourselves of, get rid of these things, crucify, get these things under the blood, repent. Repent of these things. There's nothing wrong with us going before Yah. Oh, Father, I've got this in me. Help me. Forgive me. Help me. Cleanse me. You know, and God forbid, you got to go to your brother and sister, have to confess a fault. Oh, you know, don't protect that devil in you, though. Let's get him out. You might be surprised how different you might be. You're not oppressing everybody. You know, that's only for Brother Ugly, though. So I'm sorry, Brother Ugly. You know, you make sure you get all the deliverance in the world while everybody else stay loaded. And you know, and everybody will have more peace. You know, because you've been set free, but everybody's still loaded. But, you know, while they're looking at you wanting freedom, but don't get it. What's that, Brother Zion? Said it's hard to hear. Am I coming in good, saints? Put me some tens in the chat, please. I missed that comment earlier. How am I coming in, saints? Can y'all hear me? Please type in tens if you hear me. Or one to ten for good, the best, and one for Sister Tara says good. 10, okay. Thank you. Tens, okay. Hallelujah, tens. How am I coming in, Brother Zion? Or Zion Ock? Oh, you Brother Gideon's wife. Okay. How am I coming in? Let me know. Hallelujah. Okay. My wife and Sister Sakina saying 10. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, saints. Well, I'm going to keep going. Let me know, Sister Zion, how we're standing there. I'll try to keep on the chat for you. Hallelujah. All right. Praise Yah. Okay. Let me find out where I was at here. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And you look at the time we're in. You know, the king is coming. That much I can say. We know we're living in the last time, last day. The way things look, they don't tell them what's going to happen. But one thing, I guess we're going to find out. We see the two witnesses show up on the scene. We'll definitely know what's up there for sure. But and again in verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But Yah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But we will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So we ain't got no excuse. So everything you tempted with, somebody's gonna deal with. Well, in some kind of way. So you're not even alone in that. I don't care what the temptation is, from A to Z. Hallelujah. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from my idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ, our Messiah? For we being many are one bread and one body, but we all are partakers of that one bread. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Yah. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. And you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. There shouldn't be no mingling there. Go down here. So even within your own vessel, let's go to verse 21 for a minute. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So what's on the table within your vessel? Are you sitting at the table with bitterness, with unbelief, with fear, with self-hatred, with doubt, with murder, with envy? Are you sitting at that table? We don't want to have fellowship with the devil. Instead of being friends with that devil that's within you, how about you cast him out? Let's get clean. Let's clean. If the devil's in the penthouse, throw him out. I don't care if he's in the outhouse, throw him out everywhere else. Let's get him out of the land. Let's cleanse our vessels. You know, you do want to come before the Most High pure. A pure bride, a spotless bride, holy and acceptable unto him. Hallelujah. Then let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We read verses 27 and 25. So we'll start at verse 24 through 29. That's talking about drinking of the cup unworthily. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Don't forget thanks. Go back and read these scriptures in context, please. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever should eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Yeah, look at this. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know, so we're partaking of the cup. We shouldn't do it unworthily. So let's make sure of ourselves. Judge your own self. You know, you're going around judging everybody else. It'll do me no good to judge Sister De'Ara, Brother Willie, Brother Ugly, all of you and everybody else, but don't ever judge myself. But I'm trying to come partake of the cup. You know, making sure you guys are worthy, but I ain't worthy to partake. You know, because I got too much mess going on in me that I didn't do nothing about. Don't want to come to the table and be accepted with Most High, being a stage playing hypocrite. No, thank you. I'm going to say it for myself. I'm going to make sure I'm worthy. Make sure my house is worthy. I'll help you too if you need help, but I ain't looking to judge you. I'm looking to judge my own self. This is time for our own self-introspection, self-reflection, inspection. Make sure you're pure. Hallelujah. Oh, praise y'all. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go to Luke chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Reading it wrong. Verses 15-18. And it reads, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor." So you're not going to have, so the Most High don't want us to have respect of persons in judgment. You don't want to do no unrighteousness in judgment either. And that word unrighteousness is Hebrew 57:66. You post that in the chat, please, Brother Ugly. It's moral evil, iniquity, perverseness, unjust, unrighteousness. Unrighteously wickedness. I don't know how to pronounce that word though. Evil. How do you say it? But we definitely don't want to do unrighteousness and judgment. Give me 1 second here, Saints. Let me fix this. All right, we go on. Skipping to verse 17. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." So you don't hate your brother in your heart. Then you rebuke him. That way you won't leave him in sin. You know, if your brother transgressed against you, rebuke him. You know, tell him what he done, tell him his fault, what he done wrong. So he can get it, you know, so he can get it right. And then, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You know, Yah. You know, how many people out there are grudging? You know, avenging themselves through the grudge that they have. You know, I'm gonna make so and so pay. I'm gonna get them. I'm gonna put all their dirt out. I'm going to say this about the stone. So I'm going to, you know, all the different things they can use their tongue, that deadly poison, that word of iniquity, going spewing out different things which they ought not to spew out. You know, some of the things somebody has told you in confidence, let's say a spiritual problem they might have, ask you to help them with it. Then when you get mad at them, hey, look, I wouldn't, you know, I helped brother so-and-so with deliverance from this. But you know what? That brother don't care because he done got free. And you think you got some nasty intel on them. You just being a devil, being wicked because the grudge you have. And then verse 16 applies to you, thou shalt not go up and down as a terror bearer among thy people. Neither shall thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yah. You know, so that mouth of yours will get you in trouble. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Let me get to the right chapter. Hallelujah. You got it, Brother Ugly? Oh, I like that definition for brown driver's drinks. I didn't see that. Hold on. Let me look at that for a minute. Yeah, this injustice, unrighteousness, wrong, violent deeds of injustice, injustice of speech, and injustice generally. From the Hebrew word 5765. All right. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Of course, they're talking to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, now these, and this, these people want to pass judgment on the people whose sacrifice Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. You know, you come to Jesus, hey, are these men more wicked than everybody else? You know, sinners above all the other Galileans because they suffered this? You ever see somebody suffer something? You make a judgment on them? You know, in your own mind, your own heart, you got some things going on? Well, sure, that brother was wicked because he got a flat tire yesterday. You know, Brother Ugly's wicked. He got a flat tire yesterday. He was sick. He had no internet. Surely he's wicked. He's the most wicked man in camp. If you came to Jesus and said that to him. But Jesus would say to you, well, except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. Or you're going to have the same trouble or worse. You know, the men in whom the tower and Siloam fell. But, you know, people making judgments. You know, they got these things in their own heart and their own mind. They're expressing to Jesus. But, you know, so he's talking to them about what they got going on in their own heart. But, hey, well, look, I tell you what, except you repent, you're going to likewise perish. You know, so when we're in our season of getting right, let's not get our minds on nobody else. That's the reason I use this scripture. Let's stay focused on getting ourselves right. You know, because too many times we want to, you know, look to the left or look to the right, make sure everybody else is dotting every I and crossing every T while we ain't doing nothing. You know, making excuses for ourselves. Well, you know, when my wife get right, I'm going to get right. You know. When Sister Ashley get right, then I'll worry about getting right, you know, saints. So for now, y'all going to have to excuse me, give me a pass, and I'm going to get right when my wife get right. And Brother Willie, you can wait till Sister De'Ara get right, and you can get right. Brother Ugly, you can wait till your future wife comes along and gets right, then you can get right. Or you can start wearing your top hat when Brother Jermaine starts wearing his bow tie. Just that, or you get right whenever you feel like it, too. You know, use whatever reason you need to justify yourself. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there think like that, making all kinds of excuses, getting all kinds of reasons why they can't do what's required of them, why they're looking at everybody else. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. I'm there. So we'll start at verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know, so when it comes time to repent, you know, you say, hey, look, you know, you just got into with another brother or sister. You in some kind of wicked way, you got all kinds of judgments for your brother and your sister. That's why I'm going to go pray. But don't forget this scripture here. With your wicked self. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there you remember that you have aught with thy brother against thee, what you supposed to do? Leave there thy gift, your gift, at the altar. So if you got an altar, well, fought with somebody, leave your gift at the altar, go your way, and first be reconciled to thy brother. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now, how many people? How many saints out there are guilty of not doing this? You know, there's some tension between you and somebody. Well, I'm gonna just, you know, I'm gonna wait till tomorrow. I'm gonna pray here. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Or I'll get with them next week. No, you leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled with your brother. Well, you know, time heals all things. So if I give them some time, this and that, you know, making excuses not to obey the word. I mean, yeah, come on, Saints. Let's not be dumb here tonight. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know, you guys, we all know what I'm talking about. In any kind of situation, we're not dumb to this. We're not stuck on stupid in this. For example, well, I just use myself. I remember a time in the past with a brother in the past. We had a little tit. It wasn't major, but it was just still, the brother I used to live with in the trailer. I forgot my brother Jeff. Anyway, we had a little disagreement, whatever. But I'm gonna tell you, I had a hard time sleeping that night. Instead of just making sure we hashed it all out, you know, we went to bed. And I was like, man, I had to get up and talk to him. I couldn't sleep. There's one time I was upset my wife one time. And damn, that was the worst night's sleep I've ever had in my life. I'm like, man, what the hell is wrong? I had to ask myself, what is wrong with you? You supposed to know what the words say, but yet you bothered by something stupid, by whatever, you know, whatever justification I want to give myself. You know, to give myself an excuse for not just, hey, you know, making sure things were good. I just thought, I'm going to sleep on it. Why, you know, I'm just mad, you know, my little carnal self. I'm going to have my attitude, and I'm going to go to bed. And then while you trying to sleep, you know, you close it up with the devil because you go in disobedience now, you know. So you hugging that devil pillow, with the devil hugging your pillow with you, and your heart is troubled while you trying to sleep. Flip over to one side, can't sleep. Flip over to the other side, can't sleep. Or just, you know, tormented all night long. Now, how many of us have these situations? You know, you had something going on with a brother or sister or anybody, and yet you torment all night long trying to sleep. And then finally, 2 weeks later, after you got the hell beat out of you by the Holy Spirit, you can't sleep, then you decide to go get it right. Now, man, you know, we're notorious for, we're wrong with our wife, and we have that hard time of squeaking out, well, I'm sorry. Honey, I was wrong. You know, we got to. You know, that pride that can't quite cough it up to get it out to say you're sorry, no, repent to your wife or your sister sometimes. And y'all, you know, the women, y'all can hold shit for days, years. You think about somebody that's your enemy. That's someone on the outside. That's an enemy. They got their justifiable reason for whatever. Now, you've been wrong? Okay, you've been wrong. Let's say, for instance, it was a case of a judgment. A judgment was made on you, and it was a righteous judgment, and you were, instead of sitting in your offense and looking for every reason to justify your wicked self, how about just getting it right? There's been many people, persons, saints who've gotten things right and went on, as opposed to some of you who sit out there just being devils, spewing out. Questioning and judging everybody, but yet you don't want to, but you don't judge your own self. Look at your own self. See where your fault is. You don't leave your gift at the altar and come get it right. That's for those on the outside. Same word applied to all of, not just the stuff over here. But hallelujah. Say what, thanks. I'm going to take a break. Come to the top of the hour here. So we'll take a break, and I will be back. Let me find it. Let it go.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. And Lafayette is spelled Lafayette. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled Straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, The king is coming.
All right. Hallelujah, saints. We are back. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Matthew 23. We'll read verses. Let me get there real quick. Matthew. We'll start at verse 25. It will be verses 25 and 26, brother. In Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. Actually, we're going to go down to 28. All right. Hallelujah, saints. Praise y'all. All right. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, if you look at that, Pharisees got a lot to clean up on the inside, don't they? You know, because they come out looking good as far as the outward appearance. They come out appearance, you know, they got that all figured out. You know, like us today, you know. Brothers, we come with our garments on, our fridges from here to Texas. You know, sisters, their head covers and their dresses and no makeup on. You know, hey, you know, we all outward, you know, they all decked out too, but we all, you know, got the outside of the cup looking good, right? But it's that hidden man, that inner man. That's what Jesus had to hit them on. You know, hey, look, you indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness, full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So he's breaking it down now. How much of that we got in us? How much hypocrisy we getting cleansed of? How much of iniquities are we working on, saints, brothers, sisters? You know, them generational curses. You know, you just like your wicked daddy, your wicked mama. The things that's come down the family line you still hadn't dealt with, you still full up. Should be getting less and less. As long as we're in this ministry, this deliverance ministry, we should be the loads of iniquity should be lessening on us. You know, we should be, as we're drawing out of the Most High, he's drawing out of us. You know, that journey to get close to the Most High should be getting a whole lot easier to travel as we're walking the heaven's road, because our load's getting light. Now, some people, from the day they're born again to the day they die, they ain't never tasted deliverance and got no curses of iniquities and things broken off of them. You know, they only have the knowledge. So they're going to stay in that state and deal with the things they're dealing with until the king take them home or whatever. But us, that have knowledge, we're without excuse, though. There's no reason why we should still have, I can say this, yesterday's problems today. Where's the growth? Where's the change? Where's the dying out? Where's the crucifying of the flesh? Where's the mortifying of our members? The purifying of our soul. Now, I know some things take time. Don't get me wrong. I know some things take time to deal with, but even in deliverance. Some things take some strongholds and everything. Some things take time to break down. But you should be on your way doing it, though. not making excuses for it, not being the same way you were 2 years ago with no change, no growth. How about hypocrisy? We still full of hypocrisy? What's your meter at on hypocrisy? Are you a 1 or you a 10? Hallelujah. Oh me, oh my. Hallelujah. Bless y'all saints. We just gotta say it. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be unclean either. All right, let's go to First Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read verses, we'll start at verse 11. Hold on one second. Oh, yeah, here we go. We'll start at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Hallelujah. So let's keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, you know, we are a new creature, right? That old man should be dying day by day, and the new man should be growing in strength. We should be growing daily, increasing in the spirit. But let's not leave any level of malice and wickedness unchecked within us. Let's make sure this stuff's purged out. You know, others, those of us without, you know, I don't care about them. And they're living in that. They got their malice. That motivates them. Their wickedness motivates them. But we want sincerity and truth to motivate us, to be our motivation, helping us to strive to get closer to the Most High. Striving for his love, striving for his righteousness and his holiness. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Let's start at verse 5. Say, let's start at verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. Say what? All right, say it's making my mind here. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of Yah, even to Hor. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I'm like, man, what's going on here? Let me go check this out. This bush ain't burnt. And when Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So Moses got a hold of Moses' attention before he got there. He said, hey, don't come over here like you are. You got to change something. You need to do something. Recognize where you are. Take heed. Look around. Check this out. I'm going to tell you. The ground you're standing on is holy. This is holy ground. You come over here, this is holy ground. So you look at it, we got to become new creatures, even in Christ. We're new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So for us to be able to get access to the Most High, we have to, that change has to be made in us as well, too. And then we have to continue on in the new nature, being made new in Christ, in Yeshua, in Jesus, our Master. So you look at Moses, say, hey, don't come up here just like that, Moses. You got to change something. Let's make a difference with you when you come to me. Now we go back over to, let's go to John chapter 3. Explains on this side of the covenant. John chapter 3, Brother Ugly. I'm going to bounce around there. I'm not sure where I'm going to stop at. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, the Yehudim. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yah, from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yah. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, I got to start all over, man. I got to start all over. Can't get back in there. Too big. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered, said unto him, How can these things be? How is this going to happen? How does this work? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, so as Jesus said, he's outlined there has to be a change. But we're coming to the Most High now. You know, our people back in them days didn't have to be transformed like we are. They don't have to. We're coming through the blood, coming through Yeshua. The Redeemer has come. The Messiah has come. So the change the Most High requires now is that we have to be born of the Spirit. Because flesh and blood is not going to the kingdom of Yah. And that's the true way to approach him. Hallelujah. I tell you what, let's hold on. Let me find the scripture real quick. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Get there. We'll tell you what, we're going to start up First, we'll start verse 15. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Well, you know that afterward, when he should have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I want to focus on verse 12, 15 for a second. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of Yah, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So while we're searching ourselves in this Passover season, just make sure there's no roots of bitterness springing up. Well, we're not just defiling ourselves, but we're defiling others. You know, husbands, we can defile our wives with the things we tell them. And by the way, we shouldn't be putting men's business in our wives' ears anyway. You know, things you discuss with other men, you know, certain things, a lot of it you don't need to tell your woman. Situations you don't have to deal with, stuff like that, don't burden her with that. She is the pickup truck. You are the dump truck. She's supposed to unload on you, not the other way around. I hope we get that, brethren. You don't want to destroy your wife, do you? Or your daughter. You gotta be careful with who you spewing all your heart to. But men's matters, you don't need to be dumping that on your wife. Tell them what they need to know about certain situations, yeah, because certain things you need to tell them. But you ain't got to give them all these. Just be careful what you tell them. Hallelujah. I'm going to go on. Verse 18. For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. But they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but ye are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living Yah, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Just reading that, thanks. So we know that we can come to the Most High. Excuse me. One second, thanks. As we can come boldly to the throne of grace. There's nothing, there ain't no partition keeping us away from the mount. We can boldly go to the throne of grace to see, you know, receive help in the time of need. We can come to the Father through the Spirit. You know, you got to be born again. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You know, how are you going to get access? You know, you got to pray in your heavenly language. Be able to talk to the Most High. Commune with Him through our Messiah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Yah through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, Jesus Messiah. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. No one else deceitful lust. You know, things that you used to do. Things that you used to walk at. Your old wicked desires. That old carnal man that was enmity with the others you used to operate in. That I used to operate in. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. And that you put on. So you can put it on. You can put it off, but you can put it on. And that you put on the new man, which after Yah, after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You need to give place to the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And this is a big one here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So let all that get put away from you with all malice. So we do all that, brothers and sisters. We can have garments that are clean, spotless, without, you know, our garments can be without spot or wrinkle. The Holy Spirit won't be grieved by us if we're doing this. We're not speaking corrupt things, but that which is good to use to edifying, you know, the things that, you know, that ministers grace to the hearers. You know, you can tell what words you speak don't minister grace to the hearers. Look at some of the reactions on people. You say some certain things. You can't tell if some people agree by your communication because it's corrupt. You ever stop to think about that sometimes? You say something, somebody just kind of look over at somebody else while you're talking. Like, hmm. That's not an indicator to you. Maybe you need to change your speech. Maybe do something about that perverse tongue of yours. Nah, man, come on, Deacon. You know, you're just making something out of nothing. Nah, I ain't making nothing out of nothing. Sometimes our conversation is foul. Sometimes we need to change things about ourselves. You know. So we'll grieve the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to depart from you? Then the evil spirit from Yah be sent to you to trouble you? You can't sleep at night. You don't got no peace. You wonder why everybody else full of love and joy and happiness, but you're not. But you comforted by malice, envy, anger, clamor, wrath. No, that's your bedfellows. That's your fruit of the Spirit now. All of a sudden, your fruit is becoming twice dead. So you're becoming twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So let's make sure we're doing the things that edify. Let's make sure we're keeping our spirits policed up from all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Can't say nothing good. Don't say nothing at all. But then after you deal with all that, put away from you malice. You know, that evil, that hatred, that contempt that you may have for somebody. That's definitely something you need to put on the altar and crucify and sacrifice. Get it out of your system. Get purified. That's part of them dead bones, them dead men's bones, that sepulcher, that death working in you, and not working a good thing, but killing your spirit. Hallelujah. And be ye kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as Yah for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, so when it's all said and done, when we get together with your brothers and sisters, you can have that heart that, oh, man, you love to see your brothers and sisters. that tender heartedness. Oh, man, you give a brother a hug. Oh, man, I just need to hug you, man, because I love you. You know, having that good bond of fellowship. And where there ain't no nothing between you and a brother and sister when you're hugging. You don't feel that wall, that barrier, you know, that unloving spirit that's there, that rejection that's there. But you're walking in purity of heart, soundness of heart. You know, you got that sound heart that does good like a medicine, not a wicked heart full of all kinds of deadly poison that your mouth speaks out so people are able to discern what's in your heart. You know, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And of course, the heart is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know? Y'all know it, and he'll show it to you. You ask him, hey, Father, show me what's in my heart. Or create me a clean heart. I don't got to create me a clean heart. I got to show you what's in your heart. You know, because we desire the intimacy of the Most High. But a lot of times we don't want to be intimate with him because we get intimate with the Most High. You know, sometimes the intimacy shows you where you miss it. He's all dealing with you. He's like, hey, I thought you wanted to get intimate, son, daughter. Well, I do, Father, but I didn't know you were going to turn the spotlight on my heart. Tell me what's wrong with me. Hey, I'm trying to show you what keeps the community from being better, the intimacy from being better. If we get this all the way, it'll be even better. Instead of taking you to the second heaven, I'll take you to the third heaven. Well, like that one guy, he went to seven heavens, whatever, that one man that came here anyway. But you know what I mean? We get to be able to walk with y'all like Enoch did, and there's nothing between my soul and my faith. Hallelujah. You know, we got that. We had that pureness of fellowship with the Most High. We're walking in the garden with, you know, won't be nothing that caused us to want to hide. Like, now, hey, look, where we should be, when the Most High comes to the door, he knocking, you open up, you run in, open up all the other doors. Hey, come take a look, Father. Jesus, look. Is there anything that we need to get rid of? It may hurt, but show me anyway. It's painful, but I'm going to get rid of it. He'll say this, that. Yeah. And you start cleaning house. But you notice, Most High's comfortable being in your house, though, being with you. And they know where you can't go with them. You know, you ain't worried about him looking in the closet because of some stuff about to fall out of him and get him, or some skeletons in there. No, he knows you, and he knows what type of person you are, what type of saint you are. He knows that you got a clean heart. And there's nothing between your soul and your faith. And when he pulls you close, and you have that sweet communion, you're like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I needed that today. You know, we play your song, and you go to him. And you're not shying away because you're unclean. Hallelujah. All right, saints, that's all I got for you tonight. We're going to stop there. But I do pray you all continue to strive to get yourselves ready for the Passover, to be partakers in pureness and holiness of heart, that you're not unworthy, that you judge yourself, that you won't be judged, and you're going to partake of the Passover in faith. Hallelujah. All right, thanks. I do thank you all for being here tonight. And for those of you who are listening later, bless you all. I hope you enjoy it as well. And I'll see you my next time up. I'm not sure if I'll be up before Passover or not, but we'll see. But anyway, I do thank you all for being here tonight, for your time. Remember to keep the shepherds in prayer. I do thank the man of y'all for being able to minister to you as well, for allowing us to have this outlet. And I pray you all to follow along with the ministry and everything from Brother Daniel's Lion's Den to all the other videos that get put out by Elder Mitchell, Elder Rufus, Brother Michael Israel, Brother Ugly with the Straightway News, and everything else that's out there. I can't think everything, but, you know, y'all, Pastor Corey, so y'all just, y'all keep, make sure you stay connected, saints, and keep your soul fed. Hallelujah. And be a strength to one another. And make sure you keep up the spiritual warfare. You know, because the Elder Rufus came on the sons of Jacob and exhorted all the men to make sure we step it up. You know, because it's easy to slack, brothers and sisters. So let's step up the warfare prank. So our head of protection can be built up and stay strong. If there's anything weak lacking, the Father can show us where we're lacking that, where we're missing that, so we can get that right too. But, you know, we got to stay connected to the Most High, stay in tune with the Spirit. You know, hallelujah. Anyway, thanks. Bless you all. Brother Ugly, Sister Tara, Sister Vieira, Brother Willie, Tay Jag, Tay I. I'm sorry, brother, sister, what's your name? I can't pronounce that name. Anyway, Sister Ziona. All right, thanks. Bless you all. Y'all have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time. Shalom, 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 shalom.
Hi, brother. I was I came past the Dowell. Okay, I had you as a pastor on here. But if you're a Hebrew Israelite, how do you become a pastor? When I went to